Chapter 4. Uncertain Allegiances. There was an ill wind blowing through the halls of Aldaruk, and Zahariel feared he was the only one who felt it. The courtyard was much the same as it had been when he was a young aspirant. The white paving stones were kept spotlessly clean, the more to highlight the dark grey stone of the spiral that had been laid there many hundreds of years before. The Order had used it as a training tool, incorporating the curving lines into their sword routines and close-order drills, but Brother Librarian Israfael claimed that its significance was far more ancient. "Walk the labyrinth and meditate daily," he told his students. "Fix your eyes upon the path, and it will help to focus your mind." Zahariel walked the spiral with slow, deliberate steps, his head covered by a deep woolen cowl and his hands tucked into the sleeves of his surplice. His eyes followed the endlessly curving line of dark stone, no longer truly seeing what was before him. The librarian's mind was turned inward, buffeted by an unseen storm. He could feel the energies of the warp whipping about him like a gusting breeze, angry and turbulent. Israfael had warned him on the trip back from Sarosh that the winds of the warp were far stronger on Caliban than any other world he'd ever visited, and the senior librarian had spent considerable time studying the phenomenon since they'd returned. From Zahariel's own observations, it seemed that the energy surrounding the vast fortress had grown increasingly agitated over the past few months. He knew from his training that the warp was sensitive to strong emotions, particularly the darker passions of fear, sadness, and hate. Given the troubling events that were occurring beyond the walls of Aldaruk, the rising wind felt like an ill omen of things to come. The civil unrest spreading across Caliban baffled and troubled Zahariel, all the more so because it had evidently been building for a long time. He was dismayed to discover that the clues had been there all along. After learning of the situation from Luther, he had spent every free moment sifting through the vast message archives in the fortress's library. The Imperium operated and maintained Caliban's fast-growing Vox and data networks, and every bit of message traffic, from personal calls to news broadcasts, was captured and archived as standard procedure. So far, he'd managed to work his way back through several years' worth of data, and his Astartes training had taught him exactly what to look for. The patterns were obvious to one educated in the myriad ways of waging war. There was an insurrection spreading across Caliban. It was well organized, well equipped, and growing bolder with each passing day. It hadn't been going on for months or even a year, as Luther claimed, but possibly as long as a decade. Whoever was behind the unrest had been very careful, starting with small disturbances in scattered settlements and slowly expanding as their skill and experience increased. Reports of industrial accidents at weapon manufactories and other industrial sites had been written off in the past as the unfortunate consequence of a highly aggressive expansion program. But now Zahariel wondered how many of these accidents had actually been staged to cover up the theft of weapons and other military-grade equipment. Investigations by Munitorum officials and the local constabulary had been perfunctory at best, but the imperial bureaucracy on Caliban was overworked and undermanned, and there was good reason to believe that the planet's law enforcement organization had been compromised. There was certainly enough evidence to indicate that the constabulary had been covering up the extent of the problem for a long time. But yet, how could Luther not have known? The ghostly pressure of the warp vanished like a snuffed candle. Zahariel paused, took a deep breath, and tried to regain his focus once more. It seemed inconceivable to him that Luther had missed the signs for so long. He was justly famous for his intellect, one of the very few on Caliban who could converse with Johnson on an almost equal footing. Zahariel knew that Luther monitored the reports of the administratum, the local militia, and the constabulary. As a matter of course, it was part of his duties as the master of Caliban. If the threat was obvious to him, it should have been glaringly so to a man like Luther. The implications were disturbing, to say the least. Zahariel wished there was someone he could talk to about his concerns. More than once he'd been tempted to bring the matter up with Brother Israfael, but the librarian's stern and aloof demeanor had persuaded him against it. The only other member of the Legion he felt he could talk to had been Master Ramiel, and now he was gone. The young librarian cast his eyes skyward and found himself wishing once again that Nemiel had been sent home as well. Zahariel thought his cousin could be overly cynical at times, but right now he needed a pragmatic perspective more than anything else. As much as he wanted to believe that Luther was still a noble and virtuous knight at heart, Zahariel had a sacred duty to his legion, his primarch, and above all the emperor himself. If there was corruption within the ranks, he was obligated to do something about it, regardless of who might be involved. But he had to be absolutely certain before he took action. Morale among the brothers was tenuous enough as it was. Once again, Zahariel breathed deeply and tried to focus once more on his meditations. He closed his eyes, summoning up the mental rotes that his Raphael had taught him, if only to drive away the worries that gnawed at his heart. He ruthlessly pushed conscious thought aside and emptied his mind. The ghostly wind gusted once more, surprising him with its strength. Invisible and insubstantial, it nevertheless pushed roughly against him. The force of it rocked him back on his heels. Without thinking, he opened his eyes and found himself staring into the face of the storm. A pale blue glow suffused the courtyard, similar to moonlight, but roiling like oil. Wild currents swirled and eddied around him, outlined in shades of black and grey. If he focused on them, they took on patterns that plucked uncomfortably at his mind. A faint, discordant moaning filled his head. The intensity of the vision startled the young librarian for an instant. His concentration faltered. Yet the sensations grew stronger. Dark hooded figures stirred at the edge of his sight, and then a voice, alien and yet chillingly familiar, echoed in his mind.
"Remember your oath to us."
Zahariel let out a startled cry and spun on his heel, seeking the source of the voice. Memories of his quest for the Calibanite lion, more than 50 years past, flooded back to him in an instant. He remembered wandering into a remote part of the forest, more haunted and evil than he had ever known before, and the strange hooded creatures who had confronted him there. His heart pounding wildly, Zahariel searched the courtyard's shadows for the watchers in the dark. The blue glow and the angry wind vanished from one blink to the next, and when his vision cleared, he found himself staring across the courtyard at the pensive figure of Luther. The master of Caliban was studying Zahariel intently.
"Is something wrong, brother?"
Luther said quietly. His voice was full of concern, but the knight's expression was inscrutable. Zahariel mastered himself quickly, controlling the flow of adrenaline and lowering his heart rate with a few controlled breaths. "Brother librarian Israfael would reprimand me for letting someone catch me unawares while I was meditating," he said. It shocked him how quickly the lie came to his lips. Silence fell between the two warriors. Luther studied Zahariel for a long moment, then smiled ruefully.
"We've all got a lot on our minds these days, haven't we?"
"More so than ever before," Zahariel managed to say. Luther nodded in agreement. He crossed the courtyard quickly, his manner formal, but his expression still guarded.
"I've been looking all over the fortress for you," he said.
Zahariel frowned.
"Why didn't you contact me on the Vox?" "Because some conversations don't belong on the network," Luther replied in a low voice. "I'm about to attend a very important meeting, and I want you there as well."
The librarian's frown deepened.
"Of course," he replied at once. Then, more hesitantly, he said, "The hour is very late, brother. What's this about? Has something happened?"
Luther's handsome face turned grim.
"An hour ago, insurgents launched attacks on foundries, manufactories, and administratum buildings all over Caliban," he said. "Since then, riots have broken out in a number of our colleges, including the new one up in the North Wilds." His lip curled in an angry snarl. "The constabulary has been unable to deal with the crisis, so I've dispatched 10 regiments of Jaegers to restore order."
The news stunned Zahariel. Suddenly, Luther's decision to withhold the Legion's reinforcement seemed almost prescient. The insurgency on Caliban had entered a dangerous new phase. His mind began to race, recalling reams of data on combat readiness, deployment times, and logistics requirements for the Astartes chapters and support units on planet.
"Will this be an operational meeting or a strategic one?" he asked. "I'll need a few minutes to collect the proper data files."
"Neither," Luther replied. His expression became guarded. "The rebel leaders have been in contact with Lord Cypher.
They want to meet with me under a flag of parley, and I've agreed. They'll arrive within the hour. The shuttle was a standard Imperial design, anonymous and unnoticed among the hundreds of craft coming and going from the landing fields around Alderaan. At precisely 2 hours past midnight, the transport touched down and lowered its landing ramp. Its engine subsided to an idle hum as five individuals moved quickly and purposefully down the ramp and crossed the permacrete towards the open doorway of a nearby hangar. They entered the cavernous space warily, scanning the deep shadows for potential threats. Finding none, the rebel leaders and their lone escort crossed to the centre of the building, where Luther and Zahariel stood in the glow of one of the hangar's many floodlights. Zahariel watched the traitors approach and tried to remain outwardly calm. His mind was in turmoil, torn between outrage and obedience. Luther's decision to meet with the leaders of the insurrection shocked him to the core. It went against everything the Legion had taught him. Defiance of Imperial law demanded swift and ruthless action, without mercy or compromise. Negotiation of any kind was unthinkable and threatened to undermine the Emperor's authority. Entire worlds had been devastated for less. But this wasn't some strange, isolated planet like Sarosh. This was Caliban. These were his people, and Zahariel knew in his heart that they weren't corrupt or evil. Perhaps that was what was foremost in Luther's mind as well, he thought. It served no one, least of all the Emperor, if millions of innocent lives were lost thanks to the actions of a misguided few. And if anyone could convince these men to abandon their cause, it was Luther. So Zahariel told himself and tried to master the doubts that gnawed at his heart. The five figures each wore an aspirant's hooded surplice, hiding their faces in shadow. None of them were armed, as the ancient traditions of Parley demanded. As they stepped into the circle of light, Zahariel felt a rising pain in the back of his head. His vision wavered. The hooded figure seemed to double before his eyes, and the light flickered strangely. The librarian screwed his eyes shut and used the rotes he'd learned from his Raphael to try and clear his mind. When he opened them again, his vision was clear, but the pain refused to go away. The rebel leaders drew back their hoods one by one. Lord Cypher was in the lead, his expression flat and unreadable. The others, Zahariel recognized with a mix of anger and dismay. The first of the rebel leaders was Lord Thuriel, scion of a noble family in the Southlands that still clung stubbornly to its last vestiges of wealth and power. Behind him came Lord Malkiel, the son of a famous knight who had earned much renown during Jonson's crusade against the great beasts. The fact that he and Thuriel had been bitter enemies for decades led Zahariel to wonder what could have possibly united them so. After Malkiel came another surprise. The third rebel leader was a woman. Lady Alira had inherited her title when all four of her brothers had been killed in the Northwilds, and under her leadership her household had prospered until the coming of the Emperor. Now her fortunes were in decline, like all of Caliban's noble families, but she remained a force to be reckoned with. But the last of the rebels was the most surprising of all. Zahariel recognized the man's ruined face at once. More than half a century ago, Sir Daviel had been among the knights who had stormed the fortress of the Knights of Lupus, and was one of the warriors who fought the terrible beasts that their foes had loosed upon the Order. A monster's huge paw had crushed the right side of his face, caving in his cheekbone and bursting his eye. The creature's talons had carved Daviel's flesh down to the bone in five ragged arcs that stretched from his right ear all the way to his chin. By some miracle he'd survived the terrible wound, but when the Emperor had come and the Order had been absorbed into the Legion, his request to join the ranks of the Astartes had been denied. The young knight had left Alderaan soon after, and none knew what had become of him. Daviel was an old man now. His hair had grown white and his face was seamed with decades of hard living out on Caliban's ever-shrinking frontier. But his body was still lean and strong for a man almost 70 years of age. Thuriel caught sight of Zahariel, and the noble's sharp aristocratic features darkened with rage. He rounded on Cypher. "You assured us that only Luther would attend the parley," he snapped. Lady Alira and Lord Malkiel cast suspicious looks at the librarian's tall, imposing form. "That's not for Lord Cypher to decide," Luther replied in a steely tone. Brother Librarian Zahariel is my lieutenant. Anything you say to me can be said to him as well. He folded his arms and stared forbiddingly at the rebels. You requested this parley, so let's hear what you have to say. The cool menace in Luther's voice caused Lord Thuriel to pale slightly. Malkiel and Alira looked uneasily at one another, but neither seemed willing to speak. Finally, Sar Davial let out an impatient growl and said,
We speak for the free peoples of Caliban, my lord, and we declare that the Imperial occupation must end.
Occupation? Luther echoed, his voice faintly incredulous. Caliban is an Imperial world now, governed and protected by the Emperor's law and the might of the First Legion.
Protected? More like conquered, Malkiel interjected. It was Lionel Johnson who welcomed the Emperor, his father, if rumours be true, to Caliban, and delivered the planet into his hands.
For all we know, that was their plan all along, Lady Alira snapped. It seems very convenient to me that Johnson arrives on Caliban under very mysterious circumstances, and then, just when he's gained control of the planet's nightly orders, the Emperor just happens to find him.
That's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, Zahariel snapped. You people don't know what you're talking about. If you had any idea how vast the Imperium is...
Luther cut off the librarian with an upraised hand and a warning glance.
My lieutenant speaks out of turn, he said smoothly. Nevertheless, your suspicions, Lady Alira, are groundless at best. As to you, Lord Malkiel, how do you defend the assertion that my Primarch delivered Caliban to the Emperor? Our own legends speak of Caliban's ties to distant Terra. Now, thanks to the Emperor, those ties have been restored, and our planet has entered a new age of prosperity.
Prosperity, Lord Thuriel snarled. The noble's initial pallor had vanished beneath a swelling tide of outrage.
Is that what you call the wholesale plundering of our world? Perhaps if you'd stuck your head outside the walls of this spreading canker you call a fortress, you'd see how Caliban suffers. Our forests are gone, our villages ploughed under, our mountains cracked open like nuts and scraped clean by huge mining machines. Noble families that fought and bled for their lands and their people for generations have been disinherited, their feudal subjects carried off and put to work in imperial factories and mines, and the knightly orders who might have protected us from all of this have been disbanded or, he glanced up at Zahariel's giant form, altered nearly beyond recognition.
Zahariel's fists clenched at the implied insult. Only Luther's steady demeanor kept the librarian's anger in check and the rules of parley intact. By contrast, the master of Caliban folded his arms and chuckled softly.
And now we get to the heart of things, he said with a mirthless grin.
He indicated the rebel leaders with a sweep of his hand.
Your grievances are personal, not collective. You're not rebelling for the sake of your feudal subjects, as you call them, but because you've lost the wealth and power your families have hoarded over the centuries. Do you imagine that the majority of our people would actually want to become peasant farmers once more? The Emperor has completed the process that Johnson began here with the Order. Providing safety, security, and above all equality for everyone, regardless of their class or station.
Lady Alira looked pointedly from Luther to Zahariel and back again.
Clearly, some people are more equal than others, she said.
Luther shook his head, refusing to take the bait.
Appearances can be deceiving, he replied evenly.
Indeed they can, Sar Davial said, stepping to the front of the group. Look at me, brother. I'm no pampered earl's son. I earned these scars by your side in the North Wilds, serving Johnson's vision, and how was I rewarded?
Luther sighed. Brother, it was nothing more than cruel fate that kept you from the ranks of the Legion. Your injuries were too severe to permit the process of transformation, just as I was too advanced in years. It was your decision to leave. You still had a place at Alderuk.
Doing what? Davial shot back. Polishing the armor of my betters, scurrying through the halls like a page boy.
Tears shone at the corners of his remaining eye.
I'm a knight, Luther. That used to mean something. It meant something to you once upon a time. You were the greatest among us. And frankly, it kills me to see how Johnson has used you all these years.
Zahariel saw Luther stiffen slightly. Davial's blow had struck home.
Have a care, brother. Luther said, his voice subdued. You presume too much. Johnson united this world.
He saved us from the threat of the beasts. I could never have done that. But Daviel didn't waver. He held Luther's gaze without flinching.
I think you could have, he replied. Johnson could never have convinced the other knightly orders to support his crusade against the beasts. You did that. The plan might have been his, but you were the one who rallied an entire world behind it. The truth is that Johnson owes you everything, and look how he's repaid you. He's cast you aside, just like me. You don't know what you're talking about,
Luther snarled, his voice sharp with anger.
Not so, Daviel said, shaking his head sadly. I was there, brother. I watched it happen. When I was a child, my greatest ambition was to become a knight and ride at your side. I know what a great man you are, even if no one on Caliban still remembers. Johnson knows, too. How could he not? You raised him like a son, after all, and now he's left you behind, like the rest of us.
Lady Alira stepped forward. What has the Imperium truly given us? Yes, the forests are gone, and with them the beasts. But now our people have been herded into our colleges and put to work in manufactories or recruited to serve in the Imperial Army. Every hour of every day we see a little more of ourselves carved away and carried off into the stars to serve a cause that doesn't benefit us in the least.
You can scorn the old ways if you wish, Luther, Lord Thuriel added.
But before the creation of the Order, the noble houses provided the knights that fought and died for the peasantry. Yes, we took our due, but we gave back as well. We served in our own way. How do Johnson and the Emperor serve us? They take the very best of what we have and give little or nothing in return. Surely you of all people can see that.
I see nothing of the kind, Luther answered, but his expression had grown clouded. What about medicines or better education? What about art and civilization?
Malkiel snorted derisively.
Medicines and education that make us better labourers, you mean? And what good are art or entertainments when you're too busy slaving in a manufactory to appreciate them?
Do you imagine ours is the only world called upon to contribute to the Great Crusade? Luther replied. Zahariel is right. If you only knew the scope of the Emperor's undertaking. What we know is that we're being impoverished for the sake of people we don't know and have never seen,
Thuriel countered.
We've had our culture and traditions taken from us, Daviel interjected. And now our people are in greater danger than ever before.
Luther frowned. What is that supposed to mean? He asked, some of the anger returning to his voice. Daviel started to answer, but Malkiel cut him off.
It means that Caliban's suffering will continue to worsen under Imperial rule. The question is whether or not you will stand by and allow it to happen. You're not our enemy, Sir Luther, Lady Alira said. We know you're a brave and honourable man. Our fight is with the Imperium, not with you or your warriors.
Zahariel stepped forward.
We are servants of the Emperor, my lady. But you're also sons of Caliban, the noble countered, and this is your world's darkest hour.
Join us, brother, Sardavial said to Luther. You denied your destiny for too long. Embrace it at last. Remember what it was like to be a knight and ride to your people's defence.
Defence? Zahariel said. It's you who have taken up arms against your fellow citizens. Even now your rebels are fighting constabulary officers and Jaegers all across the planet, and innocent people are suffering in the riots you've spawned. He turned angrily to Luther. You can see what they're trying to do, can't you? If we move quickly, our battle brothers can crush this revolt in a matter of hours. Don't let them play on your jealousies. Luther rounded on Zahariel.
That's enough, brother, he said,
his voice as hard as iron. The sharp tone brought the librarian up short. The master of Caliban glared at him a moment longer, then turned back to the rebels.
This parley is finished, he declared. Lord Cypher will return you from whence you came. After that, you will have 24 hours to order your forces to cease all operations and turn themselves in to local authorities.
The rebel leaders glared angrily at Luther, all except Daviel, who shook his head sadly.
How can you do this? He said.
How can you think I wouldn't? Luther shot back. If you think I hold my honour so cheaply, then you're no brother of mine, he said. You have 24 hours. Use them wisely.
Thuriel turned to Lady Alira and Lord Malkiel.
You see, I told you this was pointless.
He shot a venomous look at Lord Cypher.
We're ready to leave, the noble said, and headed swiftly for the waiting shuttle.
One by one, the rebel leaders fell in behind Thuriel and walked out into the pre-dawn darkness. Zahariel felt tension drain from the muscles in his neck as the pain in his head began to ease. He made a mental note to ask Israfael about the episodes. Whatever was causing them, they were clearly getting worse. Luther walked along behind the departing rebels, his expression lost in thought. After a moment, Zahariel followed. Part of him wanted to insist that Luther arrest the rebel leaders on the spot. The parley was a convention of Caliban's rules of warfare, not those of the Imperium, so the Legion wasn't truly bound by it. But another part of his mind warned that he'd already overstepped his bounds with Luther, and Zahariel was uncertain what might happen if he pressed further. The engines of the shuttle rose to a pulsing roar as the rebels hurried to the waiting ramp. Zahariel stopped just outside the hangar, but Luther continued on, escorting the leaders across the Permacrete. Daviel was the last to board the shuttle. At the bottom of the ramp, he turned to regard Luther. Zahariel could see the old knight say something to the master of Caliban, but his voice was lost in the shriek of the shuttle's turbines. When Daviel had disappeared inside the shuttle, Luther turned and made his way back to the hangar. Behind him, the transport lifted off in a cloud of dust and sped off westward, racing ahead of the dawn. Zahariel watched Luther approach and braced himself for a sharp rebuke. The knight's face was deeply troubled. When he reached the librarian's side, he turned to watch the dwindling lights of the shuttle's thrusters and sighed.
"We should get back to the Strategium," he said. "We've got a lot of work to do."
The librarian nodded.
"You don't think they'll heed your warning?"
"No, of course not," Luther replied.
But the words needed to be said nonetheless. After a moment, he added,
"Best we kept this meeting to ourselves, brother. I would not want any misunderstandings to impact morale."
Zahariel knew an order when he heard one. He nodded curtly and watched the shuttle disappear from sight.
"What was it that Sar Daviel said to you just before he left?" he asked, keeping his voice carefully neutral.
Luther stared out into the darkness.
"He said that Johnson betrayed us all. The forests are gone, but the monsters still remain."